Welcome to the chat room. Thanks for joining us. Nice to have your company. Today the subject is sport, so I chatted to my good friend Rampaging Roy Slaven and H.G. Nelson and said, we need you to come along and talk to sport. They said, mate, you don't need us. You've got thundering Philip Jensen, who's a sports nut. It's true, isn't it? You are a sports nut.
Thank you. I hadn't thought of it those terms.
The one thing I've never understood about you is how you can enjoy rugby, but you do, don't you?
I do. I love it. I love watching it. I used to love playing it. Right. I think I'd love playing it now if the other blokes would just remember how old I am.
Oh yeah, and bits didn't break when you
Yeah, bits didn't break and I didn't get puffed after just running out to the centre.
I mean, there are some sports I really engage in. You and I have been to cricket.
Yes.
Together. We've been to Lords.
Yes.
Which is great.
It was great. It rained most of the day.
Well, I was going to say, it was a typical English cricket match. Yes. Rain, stop, play.
Yes.
But that's what happened. But Australians are sports nuts generally. We have an image of ourselves as a nation of being people who are keen about sport.
Yes.
Is it true? Are we?
I presume so. I think so. I mean, there are certain nations who have a particular interest, like the Indian subcontinent. There's cricket games in every street, and fanatic on their cricket. Australians have enjoyed sport because it's such an outdoor climate. It's such an easy place. This is not a place to entertain yourself inside museums and libraries. This is a place to get outside, and you can do it in a way that's not as easy in England.
We have the impression we're actually good at sport in Australia, don't we?
Yes, it's a funny one, isn't it? I mean, per capita, we get more medals at, say, the Olympics than most other nations, if you look per capita. Although it's a slight fudge, because they're only allowed a certain number of entrants in each thing. The Americans, they might have the top 10 positions. They're only allowed to put two or three competitors in. But Australia does do very well. But it's not amateur sport at this level. It's very professional. And we're a very wealthy nation. We're one of the richest nations of the world.
So we can bring people to that level of skill.
Well, unlike most nations, we invest an enormous amount of money.
Right.
Doing it. We failed in Canada at the Olympics in the 70s or something like that. And I think it was Mark Spitz got more medals than Australia did. So we opened up this Institute of Sport and we've poured millions of tax dollars into it. And so other countries, larger population, either don't have the money to be able to do that and or wouldn't invest in money to do that.
For us as spectators rather than competitors, what's the mechanics of it? Why is it we find sport fabulous television or a great live event?
Well, the reason you don't like rugby is you didn't play much as a kid.
No, I played cricket as a kid.
And so you enjoy cricket.
Love cricket.
That's right. So the game you play as a child is a game that you will enjoy watching as an adult, by and large. I mean, there are some of us who, watching my daughters, I took up an interest in netball, which I never played as a child, but I really enjoy watching now. And so, but generally, it's because I play a game that I can then like watching the game. That's part of it. But part of it is that the games we're watching, they represent us. The games are put as representative games. And so I follow Eastern Suburbs Rugby League because I grew up in the Eastern Suburbs. And so I've been supporting the Roosters through loss after loss
you
after loss.
You poor man, you poor man.
My wife supports St George and she's been having a longer, leaner season than I have. Because when we came to the grand final this year with St George against the Roosters, our house was not the happiest place to be.
A house divided.
And it's my team.
Yes. So it's tribal.
It's tribal. Yes, very tribal. And the tribes can be different. So I'm just following rugby league for a moment. You have this state of origin. And so as a New South Welshman, I really do want us to beat the Reds. So I suddenly become, instead of an Eastern Suburbs tribalist, I suddenly become a New South Welshman. But then when we play against Britain, well, I'm an Australian.
Yes.
But I still have got that tribalism.
There's also something else that when we watch sport on television at that level, we're watching people who are very good at what they do. And there is pleasure in watching people who are very good do something very well, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Bible says the glory of the youth is his strength.
Right.
I was in the States watching a game of their gridiron, of their American football. And I didn't understand the culture there, just how quite tribal they are. And it was a college game. The opposition team were doing very well, and the home team were doing very badly. And I was sitting with the home team people. And the opposition team, they threw one of those long passes, you know, the quarterback long pass, the Hail Marys, as they call it. And this running back, he ran with his hands like that. And I swear, he didn't look over his shoulder. He just ran with his hands in front of him, and the ball landed in his hands.
Yeah, that's clever stuff, isn't
and
it?
And it was brilliant.
Yes.
I just thought it was one of the most athletically choreographed, magnificent things I'd seen. I stood up and cheered, and then I discovered the American culture. They booed all around about me, and they told me to sit down. I just liked the athleticism of it.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
They were tribal.
Right.
And tribe overruled athleticism. I think that's different. I think in Australia we clap both sides when they do it well.
I think we do. I remember being...
I mean, I want my side to do it well, but...
Well, yes, I said... But one stage the Australian cricket team was beating everyone. And I said to my mate David, I said, oh, not as enjoyable when we're winning. He said, I don't care, mate. I don't care. As long as we win, I don't care what happens. But I think Australians generally do.
Yeah.
I remember being at the SCG, no, the MCG when Matthew Hayden scored a ton, and the Barmy Army were beside us in the next bay around.
Yes.
And the tribal thing was great fun, but they were enjoying his performance. There is an atmosphere in an Australian stadium, isn't there?
And when he gets a century, they'll cheer, they'll clap.
Yes.
They're not going to boo because of his success.
Yeah. So talk to me about what are the good things of sport. Sport obviously contributes things to people's lives. What is it contributing?
Well, enjoyment. And joy is good.
You know, fairly healthy enjoyment.
It's healthy enjoyment. God has created us as material beings, as creatures with bodies, and with the capacity for enjoyment and the capacity for organising our enjoyment. I mean, animals do play, but they don't organise play.
With like arbitrary rules and try lines. And
in other words, you haven't got any English animals. But we enjoy the activity. You enjoy the activity in doing it, and you can enjoy the activity in watching it. And yes, it's very healthy. Most sports are healthy, although a lot of injuries in sport, and that's a problem with them. But the enjoyment overwhelms those.
Yes.
I mean, I packed down in the scrums for many years, and it never crossed my mind I was going to get injured. You know, I just was going to enjoy myself.
I remember Eric Liddell, the Scottish athlete who was in the Chariot of Fire movie, the movie was about him, and became a missionary in China, said something like, God made me fast. When God made me, he made me fast. And when I run, I can feel his pleasure.
Yeah.
There is pleasure in that kind of activity.
There is just sheer pleasure in it. And it's great fun to do this. And our Creator wants us to enjoy life, to enjoy him and to enjoy the life he's given to us. So that's good. There's a lot of health in it. Sitting watching television sports does not actually increase your health. Running around, and the amount of sport I played as a young man, I'm sure has stood me in good stead through the years.
One of the things I've noticed is the level of cooperation. In a team sport, there is a pleasure in combining with other people and doing something together well, isn't
there?
That's
right. And I've never seen a study on it, and I know no statistics. I just have in my bones instinct that team sports are in decline compared to individual sports. And that even the team sports, things are going quicker all the time. So the faster team sports, like a basketball game, will be preferred over a baseball game, which takes half an afternoon. The people want their sport quick, over and done with, and they want to play in small teams or alone.
So we've gone from Test cricket to one-day cricket to 2020.
Yes, yes, yes. And soon we'll just turn up, have a hit, and then lose. But the concept of team sport, it involves having society in a community, and society and community sufficiently collapsing. But I suspect team sports are not as popular as they used to be.
I wonder whether even in team sports, individual stars are now what are watched and preferred over the sense of a team functioning together.
I've been part of, for example, liking rugby. It's very hard for one person to win a rugby game. It can be done, the right kicker can do it, but you've got to work as a team. And indeed, some of the most unglamorous parts of the activity, the front row of the scrum, is where the game is actually won. They don't score the tries, but they win or lose the game because they make it possible for the stars out the back to score the tries. Yes, I was a prop forward, so I have this view. And I think for young men, to learn how in the context of something that is relatively violent, to cooperate with other people and work together and become part of a unit rather than just being yourself.
And channel the energy, perhaps.
Channel the energy, channel the violence, control the violence.
Right.
You learn how to control your aggression.
So that's another good thing, the learning of discipline.
Yes, that's very good, it's very useful. Because uncontrolled aggression on a rugby field, apart from being sent off for illegal play, actually won't win. You break too many rules, you just get penalised all the time. And even if you weren't breaking the rules and penalised, you don't succeed unless you bring your team along with you. Uncontrolled aggression is a failure. You've got to learn how to control your aggression, focus it, direct it, and bring your other team members. They're all useful things for young men to learn.
It's not all good. There are bad things, aren't there?
Ah, there are, yeah. Taking it too seriously.
Right.
I say one of my great hero when I was a little boy was Keith Miller, who of course has passed from the stage. He's died now, but people who don't love cricket,
great all rounder,
great all rounder, larger than life character, who was a fighter pilot in the war, and Parkinson interviewed him in his old age, and Miller was a rough nut, and his language was vulgar, so I won't give you the exact quote that he used because it's too vulgar. But the context of it, Parkinson said, you know, how do you cope with the pressure of Test cricket? And he said, that's not pressure. Having a Messerschmitt coming up your tail, now that's pressure. And that's how Miller played, having fought the war.
Yes. He didn't take it too seriously.
It was a game.
Yes.
Now, yeah. Partly it was amateur game back in those days rather than the professional, and the money changes
Everything
about games. We'll say one of the bad things is professionalism, but partly you fought the Germans in order to have games.
The game is not life. Yeah,
the game was fun. He famously came out and he's captaining New South Wales once and walked out of the field and turned to the team that he was captaining and he said, "Scatter."
That's not field placement.
No, you watch them today, they say, it takes so long just to place the field for one ball.
I like scatter, that's good.
Scatter was a good word, placing your field.
The idea of sport taking over life struck me when South Sydney, the Rabbitohs, were threatened with extinction in the Sydney Rugby League, and there were court cases about it, and there were supporters, people, not players, supporters, who out in front of the court, dressed in the club colours, in tears.
Yes.
And the emotion was genuine and the emotion was enormous, and I kept watching them thinking, you need to get a life. If the club means this much to you, there's something wrong.
You were never a Rabbitoh supporter, were you?
No.
No. But you're right. It's disproportionate, isn't it? I mean, it's a game.
Yeah.
Cricket fundamentally is a game to keep the children occupied on Christmas afternoon when the parents need to have a sleep.
Yes.
You know, they send them out in the backyard and they hit the ball over the fence and climb back over and get it and play. And it's a game.
Yes.
But as you move, especially into the kind of professionalism of the game, it ceases to be. Indeed, they've turned the treat into the normality. And when you turn treat into normality, you get obesity, you get affluence. So the test matches used to be rare, but now they're playing test matches all the time,
right?
Everywhere.
Yep.
And so when they were rare, I used to follow it. I used to say, well, you know, you bump into someone in the street and say, have you heard the score? And you'd keep up with what was happening. But when they're playing test matches every second week, I don't care what the score is.
Just too much, yeah.
But they've got to keep it like that because they've got so much money invested.
Yeah, I'll come back to the money in a moment. But there's talking about sport becoming life, there's a lovely poem by Bruce Dawe, great Australian poet, about someone's life. Not very long. The first line he says as a baby is, "Carn the blues." And the last line he says in his deathbed is, "Carn the blues." It's life revolving around supporting your team.
Yeah, supporting your team. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned money, commercialisation, and the amount of money involved in sport. Now, enormous. I mean, it's phenomenal sums of money, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, media-driven is one of the big factors in it. Most sport is good, clean television. But it is... What is it? It's conflict. Well, every good storyline needs conflict. and the very nature of all sport is conflict.
Orchestrated drama.
With unscripted drama, because not even the television know who's going to win.
Yes.
So there's a possibility that anything could happen.
Yes.
Well, that's good television. That's interesting television. You know, no one knows what's going to happen, and yet there's real conflict. There's enormous emotions put out. In fact, the emotion, you know, how do you feel, is the question they ask as soon as people come off the field. And so it makes for good, wholesome, clean, fun, dramatic television. Most people in Australia, anyway, have a commitment to sport from their childhood or whenever their family, and actually have that sense of, this is my representative playing for me, this is my team, this is, and so I'm engaged in it. That means it's easy to draw a big audience on a sporting fixture, some more than others, but hey, I've even sat and watched billiards, you know. Well, not billiards, but snooker.
Yes. Well, it's good television. Snooker is fascinating television.
It's fascinating television.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I was never any good at snooker, but I can watch that and it's really interesting. You've got to whisper if you're the commentator, haven't you? You know, this shot is worth $500,000.
And the amount it's worth makes a difference.
It
winds up the drama, doesn't it?
Now, you add to that gambling.
Right.
And then instead of just being tribally, emotionally represented, I'm actually playing the game. I'm in the game. I've got my $5, $10, $100, $1,000 on that team winning. And so I'm not actually now watching a game. I'm part of the game.
Right.
And gambling is highly associated with it. I've noticed now, because of our increased gambling, that as the game is being played, they're putting the odds up.
Yes.
On the screen.
Yes.
On the television. And that may have been with racing previously.
But it's now with every major sport, isn't it?
Now, the Dogs, which when I went to the Easter show, I used to find fascinating, the only time I watched Dogs. But the Dogs, there's no crowd there anymore. No one goes to the Dogs. Because the whole essence
greyhound
of
racing,
the greyhound racing, yeah. Yes, because the whole essence of it was the gambling.
Right.
And now that you can get gambling on the television and on the screens, etc., well, why would you go and watch the Dogs running around a paddock? It's just of no interest in itself. And so apparently my friends who live next door to the dog track say there are the handlers and there are the callers and there are the officials and the place is empty apart from the dogs. But people are watching it around the country because they've got money.
So there's still money tied up in what's going
on.
And with all codes of football, with cricket and all of these things, there are now so many online betting agencies that make it so easy for you to bet wherever you are.
Yes, anytime, all the time. And over really silly things like, who's going to get the first point? Who's going to kick the first goal? You know, who will bowl the first no ball?
Well, whether there'll be a no ball on the first ball in the third over.
Yes. And of course, once you have this much money involved and gambling involved, corruption. Now, they've corrupted some of the sports because they've made rules, I think, to fit in with the television programming. They love certain sports like American football because you keep having those little committee meetings which enables you to have television ads coming on at the same time. I still think the eight ball over is a better way of playing cricket than the six ball over, but there's fewer ads on an eight ball over than there is in a six ball over.
Right.
There's all kinds of changing the game to make it more acceptable to the gambling media. So it corrupts the game. Corrupts the game in terms of communal participation, like the Cleveland Browns, which Cleveland has nothing going for it except an orchestra and the Browns. I mean, Cleveland's called a mistake by the lake. It's a dreadful city. Poor people in Cleveland. If you're watching this in Cleveland, I love you. We've got to love you.
He said a mistake by the lake, not me.
I'm just quoting them. They told me it was. And I asked them why they didn't leave it. They had the Browns. But then a rich man, I think in Boston, bought the Browns and took it to Boston.
Right.
So here I am now living in Cleveland supporting a team that actually plays for someone in Boston.
Yes.
Well, that. And Australia, the Australian Rugby Union coach is an All Black.
Yes. And Australian cricketers coach Pakistan and India.
And I think, well, in what sense am I now supporting this team when this nation can't even come up with its own coach?
And if I support an English soccer team, they're multilingual. I mean, they come from all over Europe.
And what would happen if all the Samoans played for Samoa?
They'd win a lot of games.
Well, Australia and New Zealand would be. Because the Samoans haven't got enough money to pay them properly. So the poor Samoan team at the World Cup will do poorly because they're beaten up by the Kiwi, the All Blacks and the Australians, full of Samoans. Now, the sense of money corrupts, it destroys the game. But when you get into the gambling and then people start fixing games, it inevitably happens.
There are good things about sport, there are bad things about sport. How do we as Christians react to sport?
Well, number one is enjoy it.
Right.
You know, God gives us this good earth and
take
part in it. In as much as community sport, be involved. That's one of the ways in which you meet people in your society.
Right.
You know, down the local football club, that's where you spend time with people, enjoying it.
It's a good way of connecting with people.
Ah, it's a great way of connecting with people. And if you're not, you know, if you know about sport, politics and gardening, you can talk to anybody in Australia. You know, that's about the limit of our range of conversations. And so sport's a wonderful thing, and it's an enjoyable thing, and it's a community building thing, and it's good to be involved with it. It's healthy and all those. That's the first thing. Secondly, the Bible refers to sports.
I could actually tell the story you told me about you learning fly fishing. He learned fly fishing when he was in America. Kent Hughes, I think, taught
fly
fishing.
No.
And his story, wasn't Kent?
No, it was Kent Hughes.
Yeah,
but
and
no.
His story is, because he won't tell you, his story is fly fishing is fabulous. He said, no messy bait to fiddle with, and at the end of the day, no fish to clean.
Yeah.
That was your story.
Yes, okay. And but the enjoyment's one aspect. The community of life is another aspect that is really good. The Bible uses sports. So Paul talks about beating the air and the running of the race, and physical training is of some value. But it's often in contrast. That is, people struggle so hard for a prize that vanishes. Winning the grand final of your local competition, who remembers? You may for the rest of your life remember, but nobody else remembers. In fact, the competition doesn't exist in 10 years' time. And even the big competitions, twice I've held gold medals from Olympic Games in my hand. And I couldn't remember the competitors' names or anything about them, and I couldn't remember them winning. And, you know, nobody else could. I mean, who won that race in that Olympic? Only a fanatic would remember who it was.
So we don't put too much weight on sport, is the point.
Fame is very short-living. And success is short-living. It's fun while it's there, but just don't take it too seriously. It's also, and coming back to one of the bad things about sport, it's something governments use to manipulate people. It's a way of creating that jingoistic nationalism. Bread and games is a very old way of tyrants. Adolf Hitler used sport. In fact, he created that Olympic run so as to glorify the nation state and so on. But the Bible also sees sport as, it's a good thing, but there is something much better. That is, training physically is good for this life, but training spiritually is good for this life and the world to come.
And we're also picking up on what we see in sport, where there's someone out there representing us. The Bible uses that to say there is someone there competing for us and representing us.
It's even better. I think there's two good illustrations here. One is that Jesus is our representative. He fights the battle for us. And so we can align ourselves in him in the great battle. But he's better than a representative because he's my substitute as well. So here I am battling the opposition and losing steadily, and the coach calls me off the field and he puts Jesus in my place. And Jesus wins as my substitute, as well as my representative.
And the prize you collect.
And I collect the prize. Isn't that terrific news? I get the eternal life because of he stood in my place in the battle of life and death against Satan.
We often want to be able to talk to our mates about Christian things, about the gospel. Maybe sport's a good way into those conversations.
Oh, it is, undoubtedly. I mean, there's some great illustrations of fine Christian sportsmen like Brian Booth. Got to be careful because sometimes the big name Christian has fallen by the wayside, but there are some very fine, famous Christian men, Eric Liddell that you mentioned. There's also values. There's a man, Lineker, who was a soccer player, as we would call him, footballer in England, whose child had cancer and he sat by his bedside for 7 months waiting for the child to recover, who did recover, I'm glad to hear. I remember seeing him interviewed once, and they asked about giving up soccer, and he said, well, when your child's got cancer, football doesn't matter.
Yes.
And helping people see that if the biggest thing they've got in their life is South Sydney Rugby League,
yes,
they haven't got much in their life. And when Australia pours money into winning gold medals and sees people starving in countries all around about them, people, children dying of measles, and we're pouring money into being the best country. Pour money into athletics, by all means, pour money, but pour it into the community out there running.
So we can have those good, enthusiastic conversations about sport, and they're good fun, but we can also see them as a doorway to talking about something else.
And you're hard-pressed to talk to Australians without sporting illustrations.
Right, right.
When I'm in America preaching, the only illustrations that come to my mind in the pulpit come from rugby and cricket.
And how do the Americans cope with that?
Well, they thought I was mad, but they love my accent.
So we need to look for those opportunities where we're talking about sport, something occurs to us, and we simply have to have the courage that a sportsman displays in the paddock, to actually say, right, I'm going to say something at this point.
Yeah, sure. And to be able to, I think, he's my representative and my substitute, most Australians will understand what that's about.
And suddenly, the wrong idea people have about Christianity, which is about being good, changes.
Yes.
Because they've said, here's the way to think about what it's really all about.
Yeah. And when we're talking to Australians, you've got to talk sport, because that's the language, you know. You're not speaking Australian if you don't refer to sport things. And we have this terrific, I think, way of explaining the gospel. That is, it's the substitute and the representative is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changes the paradigm of what people think Christianity is about. It's not about morality and being good and bad. It's about being in a game against the opposition, and you can't win, but your substitute comes on and wins for you because he is your representative and you cheer for him and his victory, and you win the prize. You get the great giving out of the gold medals at the end. You go up because you were on the team in him.
As Bill Laurie would say, it's all happening here. Well, it's all happening there in the gospel story, if we can just get it across to people.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to hear Philip talking about, not necessarily about sport, but actually about the Bible, come along to St Andrew's Cathedral in Sydney anytime. Any Sunday, we would love to see you here. Philip, thank you for chatting to us today.
It's a pleasure.
And thank you for your company on The Chat Room.